From the University of Texas at Austin, KUT Radio, this is In Black America.
Clarence Carter happened to come to town, and the club owner said, my girl's going to be opening for you. He says, oh, no, she's not. I got my own review. So he said, well, you're going to sing in this club. She opening for you, Clarence. And so Clarence said, well, bring her on in here and let me rehearse her. So I got in there and rehearsed. He said, bet you can't sing. You know, that's what he's thinking. He told me he's thinking to himself. You know, OJ makes me sick. Every time I come, he got something different. Bet this chick can't sing. And so I got up there, and the band was in awe. And my God, and he wanted me to say, well, whenever you get rid of this jealous husband, give me a call. Here's my number. That was my way out, John. I saw my way out. And he hired me and took me to see Rick Hall, and the rest is history. I've had 28 records since then.
Legendary soul, R&B, gospel, and pop artist Candy Staten. Staten sang her first church solo at the age of 4 and went professional at age 12 when she joined the Jewel Gospel Trio. The group recorded for Nashville Records and toured with Sam Cooke and Mahalia Jackson in the 1950s. After high school, she left music to get married and start a family. However, her brother had other ideas and dared her to go on stage at Birmingham's 2728 Club in 1968, when an impromptu take on Aretha Franklin's Do Right Woman won her a gig opening for R&B star Clarence Carter, whom she would later marry. Over the next 5 years, she churned out more than a dozen Southern soul hits, such as the Grammy-nominated rendition of Stand By Your Man and In the Ghetto. Staten was crowned First Lady of Southern Soul just as she was leaving Fame Records for Warner Brothers, and tossed off her tiara to become a disco princess with smash club hits such as the 1976 million seller Young Hearts Run Free, Victim, and Honest I Do. Staten has recently released a new CD entitled Life Happens. I'm Johnny O. Hanson Jr., and welcome to another edition of In Black America. On this week's program, the legendary Candy Staten. In Black America.
I ain't easy to love. Scars have made me black and blue. But I feel a lot less broken. Every day I spend with you. Oh, you bring out the woman. Oh. That I never knew who I was. Oh, please forgive me, darling, when I ain't easy to love.
One thing I think I have, and one of the weak things in my life, everybody has their ups and downs, but one of my downs is that I can't seem to have a relationship with anybody over a long term. I don't know what it is, but once I get with them, it's like they start to control and they want to stop your progress, mm-hmm. and they want to become you in a sense. The competition sets in and the arguments start, and you're not doing that because I said so. And I'm like, well, this is the way I make a living. Well, I don't care. You ain't doing it. You ain't going there. And, you know, accusations and accusing you of everybody you hang out with and have to be on stage with. Johnny Taylor, I was accused of him. And, you know, and just people doing stuff like that. So I have not had good relationships. So I was going through one of these bad relationships when David Crawford, the late, great David Crawford, Jackie Moore, he did Precious Precious with her, and he wanted to produce me.
Candy Staten is one of the powerful female voices that define the term disco diva. Early on, she learned the power of her singing could have over an audience. Born Kenzetta Maria Staten on March 13, 1940 in Hansville, Alabama, she grew up in Cleveland, Ohio and Nashville, Tennessee. In Nashville, along with her sister Maggie, she attended Jewel Christian Academy. Her vocal abilities quickly set her apart from the crowd. the school's pastor teamed the two sisters with a third girl to form the Jewel Gospel Trio. For stating, the results was a fabulous musical education. The trio toured with gospel legends such as the Soul Stirrers, the Staple Singers, and a young Aretha Franklin. After 6 years in Nashville and on the road, Staten grew restless in her late teens and left the trio. In 1968, Staten launched a solo career that produced 16 R&B hits and gained the title of First Lady of Southern Soul. Recently, she has reunited with legendary producer Rick Hall of Fame Studios with her 28th album entitled Life Happens.
I was born and partially raised in Alabama. Born in Alabama, stayed there till I was about 8 years old, and then we left. My mom got tired of my father's ways and his drinking and gambling, so she left, and we moved in with my brother Sam in Cleveland, Ohio, and so we stayed in Cleveland for the rest of my grew up partially there, and then I went to Nashville to sing with a group called the Jewel Gospel Trio and went to school there until I was about 17.
What sparked that initial interest in music and singing?
Well, we had pretty much, that was all the entertainment we got at being born in Alabama. And with the barest of necessities, we had nothing. You know, we were just real poor people. And so only thing we had actually was the music in church, singing in church that I would hear the older people sing. And what sparked my real interest was on every fifth Sunday, we had churches gather together, and they had a picnic, outdoor picnic. And they would bring chocolate cake and fried chicken. I couldn't wait for the fifth Sunday. To tell you the truth, I lived for the fifth Sunday because it was more exciting than any TV show. But and plus we got a chance to eat things that we hadn't been used to eating, you know, for all that whole month. So we the one particular day, fifth Sunday, a little girl came with her parents and she sung a solo. And I didn't know little kids supposed to be singing, you know. So from that incident, I was like, oh, my God, if she can do it, I can do it. And I started wishing and praying and hoping and practicing how to sing, too. And so I started singing like that. My sister started first. You know, she was there, too. And Maggie started first. And then I was watching her, and she kept singing, and I would mimic everything she did. And finally, I got so, you know, just started singing on my own. And one day, my friend of my mother's from the church was coming up the hill from my house, and I was in the back of the house singing just loudly as I could sing. And she heard me and wondered where that beautiful music was coming from. And it was coming from a five-year-old around the house playing by herself, making mud pies. And I wasn't paying it any attention because to me that was my own personal entertainment, that I could do something to, you know, to pass the time away. It wasn't like I wanted to just, I'm going to be a big star one day and I'm going to have gold. No, we didn't even have that vision. It was just something that was felt good to do. And she went back to the Baptist pastor and she told him, she said, you know what, that little girl right there can sing. And so he called me up one Sunday unexpectedly, and I was scared to death. And I got up on the stage. I didn't want to go. I was sitting there shaking my head, no, no. And Mama said, go ahead, go ahead. And I went up and got it, and they put me in a chair so I could be seen, and I sung my first solo alone by myself, and that was the beginning of my little singing career. And then the pastor heard me, and the people were shouting and throwing pocketbooks and handkerchiefs, and, you know, and like in awe of my singing, because that was unusual. They didn't know I could do that. And so my pastor started taking me around with him and my sister. We used to harmonize all night. My mother used to come in with a switch and make us quick so everybody could sleep. So we would just go with our pastor. And he would take us, and we would sing. And we started drawing him big crowds. And so he kept us going with him. So he would take good care of us and feed us, you know, and protect us and bring us back home to my mama and brag about us, you know. So we were just in awe of that. But when Mama moved to Cleveland, we went to church one night, and they had this big, beautiful church in Cleveland on Euclid Avenue. And I had never seen so many people before in my life and did not even know that church people supposed to dance. I had never seen church people because in our Baptist church, it took you an hour to sing a song.
Right.
You know, it was like, amazed. I mean, it was like forever. Mm-hmm. I would go to sleep by the time they got to the second verse. So, but in Cleveland, they were dancing. They had a band. They had, I'd never seen a band like that in church. And I was just so excited. But then my sister-in-law surprised the pastor and the bishop by letting us come up one Tuesday night and sing. And then she wanted to take us to school, where she had a school in Nashville for kids, underprivileged children, that she would raise money to put them through school. And it was called Jewel Academy.
Right.
And we were in Jewel Academy for all those years. And we got together with her great-granddaughter. Her name was Naomi. She's passed away. But we got to singing with her, and we started singing all over the world. And Sam, we were on stages with Sam Cooke and Lou Rawls when he was with the Pilgrim Travelers.
Mm-hmm.
Sam was with the Soul Stirrers and the Davis Sisters and Clara Ward and the Clara Ward Singers. And we were with Mahalia Jackson, and we were with the Staple Singers. They were getting, yeah, we're more closer to our age. And we had so much fun going up and down the road, you know, until I was about 17. And then I decided that I had had enough and went back home to Alabama to finish my last year in school. I got pregnant and got married, and that's, you know, I just knew my career was over. But God had better plans. He had other plans for me, you know. That was just the beginning of my life. Instead of thinking that a mistake that I had made would scar me for the rest of my life, in fact, it enhanced my life. And so I started singing in gospel groups and in gospel singing in churches and being booked around local churches while I was still married to my ex-husband and my baby. I would take him with me, and we'd go to these churches, and they would have him and inviting me until we broke up, and I was like, didn't know what to do with my life then because I only had a high school education,
mm-hmm.
and I didn't have the college thing, and my sister went on to college to be a school teacher, but I had nothing else I could do except I hadn't even thought about singing, quite honestly. My brother took me to a club one night, and I sung two songs I had to learn, Aretha Franklin stuff, you know. I sung Etta James' Tell Mama and Do Right Woman and tore the place up. And then he wanted to hire me, and I had this jealous husband that didn't want me to do it. So I was stuck there between a rock and a hard place. And Clarence Carter happened to come to town,
mm-hmm.
and the club owner said, my girl's going to be opening for you. He says, oh, no, she's not. I got my own review. So he said, well, you're going to sing in this club, she opening for you, Clarence. And so Clarence said, well, bring her on in here and let me rehearse her. So I got in there and rehearsed. He said, bet you can't sing. You know, that's what he's thinking. He told me he's thinking to himself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, OJ makes me sick. Every time I come, he got something different. I bet this chick can't sing. And so I got up there, and the band was in awe.
Right.
And my God, and he wanted me, he said, well, whenever you get rid of this jealous husband, give me a call. Here's my number. That was my way out, John. I saw my way out. And he hired me and took me to see Rick Hall, and the rest is history. I've had 28 records since then.
No, that's right. If you're just joining us, you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio, and I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and we're speaking with legendary First Lady of Southern Soul, Candy Staton. Candy, how did you all go about putting together that 1976 hit, Young Hearts Run Free?
Well, I was going through another relationship. Let me explain something before they. I don't know what people think about me, but I've been married a few times. The worst thing I think I have in one of the weak things in my life. Everybody has their ups and downs, but one of my downs is that I can't seem to have a relationship with anybody over a long term. I don't know what it is, but once I get with them, it's like they start to control and they want to stop your progress, mm-hmm. and they want to become you in a sense. You know, the competition sets in and the arguments start and you're not doing that because I said so. And I'm like, well, this is the way I make a living. Well, I don't care. You ain't doing it. You ain't going there. And, you know, accusations and accusing you of everybody you hang out with and have to be on stage with. Johnny Taylor, I was accused of him. And, you know, and just people doing stuff like that. So I have not had good relationships. So I was going through one of these bad relationships when David Crawford, the late, great David Crawford, Jackie Moore, he did Precious Precious with her. And he wanted to produce me. And I was just leaving Rick, and Disco was just coming in at Warner Brothers. And I was signed to Warner Brothers, and they wanted me to go disco. And I was a little reluctant at first, but it was happy music. And I love happy music. And so I would sit down every day for lunch just talking to David. David and I would have lunch together, and we were trying to find out which way this record should go. But the combination between David and I were just magical. And so he says, and I would tell him all my hard stories, and he would start writing. And I don't understand why he was writing. I'm like, what is he writing? And he would just have his pad and pen, and he would be writing. Come to find out, he was writing Young Hearts Run Free.
Well, you were always talking.
Yep. And so he actually wrote my story in a song.
I understand.
And when we got in the studio to actually do the record, he had already put the music down when I walked in the studio. And I'm like, what in the world? I said, that is some of the most beautiful music I've ever heard. David, what in the world is that? He said, oh, you're going to love it. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. And guess what he did? The reason I know this song has been around so long is because David went on a 40-day fast for this song.
What?
Yeah. When I met him again, his lips were white, and he weighed about 150 pounds, and he's like 6 feet tall. He was skin and bones. I'm like, David, what are you doing to yourself? He said, I've been fasting. I've been fasting. I said, fasting? He said, yeah. Well, you know, I know Ashton and Simpson did it. You know,
right. They
fasted for their hit records. And so he was fasting. And I believe that's why God has allowed this song to stay around all this. That was a big sacrifice.
Sure was.
For that song, you know. And it's big in Europe. It's never stopped being played. He said, I'm going to write you something that's going to last you forever. And he did.
What's the sense in sharing this one and only life? Ending up just another lost and lonely wife. You count up the years and they will be filled with tears. Love only breaks up to start over again. You'll get the babies, but you won't have your man. While he's busy loving every woman that he can. Say I'm gonna leave 100 times a day. It's easier said than done when you just can't break away.
You just can't break away.
Oh, young hearts run free.
Did you all record the song at Muscle Shoals?
No, we were in L.A.
You were in L.A.?
Uh-huh, we were in L.A. I had to fly to L.A. and to get out there in one of the studios Warner Brothers had prepared for it. And because they're promotion people and they're, you know, they were like there every day we were doing the music. And they were just overwhelmed, you know, at the music that was coming from David and me. And I did that song with one take, John. I was reading it.
I know that's right. Now, you went from the church to disco and then back to the church. What drew you back to the church after your secular career?
Well, you know, a lot of times when you grow up in a home, there are certain principles and there are certain things that you learn during your upbringing. And people back in that day, the day of my mother, when my mother came up, nobody read the Bible too much, okay, if they could read it all.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to listen to what was coming from the pulpit. And a lot of these men of God were not versed and to really know how to dig deep into the Word of God in order to bring a relevant message as what God actually meant when he said certain things, you know, come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. They didn't even know that kind of thing. They just took it literally, you know. So there were always this divide between secular and gospel music. They always felt like if you sung secular music, you were going to hell, because that's what was taught in the pulpit. If you sing the devil's music, they called it the devil's music. So I went along with that, and I just kind of like, it was like a given, you know, just that's just something you don't do. And when I got up and I got out, I was in rebellion when I went to secular music, because I was trying to, I was just starting a revolution. And I was just mad, because at the pastor, mad at being used, mad at everybody in church, called them all hypocrites. I hate all y'all. You know what? Y'all, okay, I'm going here. Well, I'm going to hell then, okay? I'm just going to hell. Just, it's my hell. I'm going to it. I mean, I got really adamant about it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And well, God's going to kill you. Well, he's just going to have to do it, because I'm not sitting here listening to this rhetoric you guys are putting in my head. So am I in rebellion? Yeah, I'm in rebellion. So that's how I left the church, rebellious. And then back in the 80s, back in the early 80s, I got to reading the Bible for myself, and I got to seeing things in a different light. I'm like, what's wrong with young hearts run free? It's not the older woman telling young kids don't get pregnant before you get married. Now, what's wrong with that? Absolutely nothing. Stand by your man. What's wrong with that? I'm singing a song called In the Ghetto, which is life and what actually happens. People rap about it every day. We live it every day. We see everything happening in the ghetto. But we gonna condemn me because I sing about it? You look at, if you want to, just for an example, I was enlightened to this, but look at this. You got pastors now doing movies about the same things that I sing about in my music.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. You got Tyler Perry. He's like, you know, my dear goes to jail. We got all of these things, and flocks of Christians just flock there to see all these movies and stuff. You got infidelities, and you got, you know, lots of stuff, the things that I sing about in my music. And in the sight of God, there is no difference.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the sight of man. And we have judged each other, and we need to stop judging. Because you don't understand my gift and what God has put in me to portray to the world. You need to leave it alone, because that's what God put in me. I'm going to have to stand before a just God one day and give an account of the gifts that I didn't do that he gave me. I go out on these stages now. The difference is from the 70s to now when I do these secular shows in Europe is I bring Jesus in. They out there jumping and all. I have them all praising God. 50,000 of them jumping up and down, praising God. So I bring the message subtly. The Bible says you got to be wise to win souls. Everybody can't be in church to win a soul. Most souls ain't that's not saved don't want no parts of church. So you got to be wise. He says be wise as serpents and humble as doves. God sends us on missions in order to do. He says some plant, some water, and I give the increase. Some people ain't even ever heard of the name of Jesus. Some people would never go to church. But suddenly, I go in and I spread the gospel. And plus, I have a lifestyle that people see. When I got saved, John, I got saved.
Mm-hmm.
I got really saved. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I don't be around people that do. I don't go out. I don't commit adultery, fornication. I live a very clean life. I live a life of the Ten Commandments in my daily living. But I sing life songs. I show people life songs. I sing these songs because there are people going through these problems, even as we speak now. You know, so that's what took me back to once I started seeking God for myself and finding out his will for my life. He told me, you're going back, and you're going to get some of those people that you sent out there. And that's what I'm doing. That's my mission.
No, that's right. If you're just joining us, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr., and you're listening to In Black America from KUT Radio. We're speaking with the legendary First Lady of Southern Soul, Candy Staton. And speaking of life, your new CD is entitled Life Happens.
Yes.
Nice CD.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
And before we talk about other songs on the CD, it seems like you had a divine feeling for the song Have You Seen the Children?
Oh, yeah. Yes, that song was written many years ago, but I kind of revised it for this album because of Trayvon Martin.
Okay.
And his tragedy and other young men that are being bullied and shot by the police and other people just coming up, you know, and because of this law, you know, that they have in Florida, Daniel Brown. And it gives them an excuse to kill people.
Mm-hmm.
And I got so angry. I really did. I got so angry. I revised that song. I'm putting this song on this album because it don't make sense for the kids. Where are they? Have you seen the children lately, John? Where are the children? They don't do like we used to do when we were growing up. They're not kids anymore.
Right.
These babies, 5 years old, they can shake their behinds just like Beyonce. I mean, and they're wearing the clothes and they're getting abducted. And folks, you didn't see all that junk when I was growing up.
No,
where
didn't.
Are the children? Have you seen them lately?
Have you seen the children? Where have they gone? Oh. They're growing up much too fast, oh, and leaving home. They're searching for something, oh yeah, but they don't know what. We gotta love.
Legendary soul, R&B, gospel, and pop artist, Candy Staton. If you have questions, comments, or suggestions as to future In Black America programs, email us at jhanson@kut.org. Also, let us know what radio station you heard us over. The views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station or of the University of Texas at Austin. You can hear previous programs online at kut.org. Until we have the opportunity again for technical producer David Alvarez, I'm Johnny O. Hanson, Jr. Thank you for joining us today. Please join us again next week.
CD copies of this program are available and may be purchased by writing In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712. That's In Black America CDs, KUT Radio, 1 University Station, Austin, Texas, 78712.
Have you seen the children?
This has been a production of KUT Radio.